Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, front page. Directing Education. Beatrice Mata, the new ECISD Director of Early Childhood Education, poses for a photo. Director's Focus is Early Childhood Education by Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. From teacher to math coordinator, Beatrice Mata has served Ector County ISD in many roles. She recently took on the post of Director of Early Childhood Education. This is a new position that was developed with Superintendent Scott Murray's Look, Listen, and Learn tour that he conducted when he arrived at ECISD a year ago. He found that 57% of kindergarten students who attended pre-kindergarten were not kindergarten ready in 2019, and 65% of kindergartners who were not ready for kindergarten in 2019. She will be working with early childhood specialist Angela Betancourt. Mata's job will be to lead the district's work on early childhood initiatives. Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction Lilia Nanez said in an email, "The first objective is to support campus principals and teachers on the implementation of full-day pre-K, scheduling and implementation of instruction as we extend the time with four-year-old children will take training and support." She is also responsible for working with community daycare facilities to find partners in order for ECISD to serve up to 1,000 three-year-old children in 2021-2022. She will work as our outreach representative to start and develop partnerships with private daycare facilities so we can expand our reach in serving three-year-olds, Nanez said. Mata said she is excited to serve the district in this capacity. "I feel like within education, our job is to be servant leaders, and this is a great opportunity because as a math coordinator and as a teacher in our lower grade levels, I've seen we do have a need to make sure that we focus attention into our foundation levels, and not just within ECISD, but from birth," Mata said in an interview. "The research shows the first 5 years the brain develops immensely, and if we don't get our students within the first 5 years, then we feel it within the system, so we want to make sure that we're providing resources and we're doing community outreach and we are working through partnerships," she added. The pre-kindergarten program has been expanded to more campuses this year. "Our goal is to go out and teach parents, teach our community members, just teach the whole community how they can work together to ensure that all of our students get the best education possible. And it does start at that foundational age," Mata said. A product of ECISD herself, Mata earned a bachelor's degree in communications and a master's in educational leadership from University of Texas Permian Basin. She has been with ECISD for 13 years and spent 2 years at Dallas ISD. Starting off as a kindergarten teacher at Ross Elementary, Mata moved to Austin Montessori to teach. She then moved into the role of instructional specialist and then district math coordinator for elementary. Her 16-year-old daughter also attended Austin Montessori Magnet School. "I loved being a teacher then. Whenever I became a Montessori teacher, I fell so in love with the curriculum," Mata said. When she moved into the instructional area, she was able to branch out and learn how to support students from kindergarten through fifth grade. She noted that there is a need to focus on the younger students. Mata said she will be consulting with principals as one of her first steps. More pre-kindergarten teachers are being added, so they will need support and networking. "What really drew me to the position, honestly, was whenever Dr. Murray did his look, listen, and learn tour. That statistic, it really stuck in my head, Mata said. Since taking on her new job, Mata has been talking to teachers and principals to see what their needs are, the obstacles they have faced. I'm just doing a lot of investigation right now, really, and I'm just building a plan. Once the doors open up for instruction, I will be on campus on day one, she said. Nani has said Mata has a strong passion for education. Her experiences as a teacher in the early childhood grades and the support she has provided the last 2 years as elementary math coordinator only strengthened her knowledge of early education. She is a high-energy, smart individual who not only works hard for ACISD and the students and teachers we serve, but is a superior citizen of Odessa. Beatrice was part of the group from UTPB who started the local Empty Bowls fundraiser for the West Texas Food Bank under the guidance of Chris Stanley and has been involved with that fundraiser each year since the beginning of this annual event. Her love for the district and the community certainly made her stand out as the top candidate for this position, Nanez stated in an email. Nanez noted that the importance of early childhood education has been proven through research. Developing children in the early years is critical for each student's future academic and social and emotional development. ACISD does not have influence on children from the ages of 0 to 4 years of age currently, but as we expand our reach and serve more young children, we can impact the future of many children as they start their academic journey. Language development, social interaction, development of gross and fine motor skills are critical for 3, 4, and 5-year-old children, and this position will support the development of this group of children. This is a priority for our district as we expand our reach over the next few years. Preparing all children to be kindergarten ready is critical to the success for all children, Nanez wrote. Dr. Talk's Downtrend by Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. Dr. Timothy Benton spoke on behalf of the Ector County Health Department about the previous week's downtrend in Ector County COVID-19 cases during a Monday virtual hospital briefing. The total cases last week looks like about 244, which was 220 less than the previous week, he said. So the curve, the rolling 7-day average for new cases, has been declining, and even now the cumulative positivity rate has declined. Benton said that while the cases are dropping at the hospital, it's maybe a sign that maybe the virus is less prevalent. It's not zero. It's still out there, he said. He added that out of the 70 tests conducted during the National Guard test on July 24th, 25th, one person came back with positive results. Odessa Regional Medical Center Hospital President Stacy Brown detailed that out of 2,097 tests, 358 people have tested positive and 4 tests are pending. 12 COVID-19 patients are in the hospital, with 9 being in the ICU and 3 others on a different designated floor. She added that 4 COVID-19 patients are on ventilators. Out of the 12 patients, 3 are from Big Spring and 1 is from Andrews, while the rest, she said, are from the area. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan said that it's good to see the numbers going down. We really have to see what will happen with some schools still going back in person, he added. Medical Center Hospital detailed in a Monday press release that out of 1,174 positive cases, 23 positive COVID-19 patients are in the hospital, 9 are on 8 central isolation unit, 14 are on the critical care unit, and 7 are on ventilators. Of the 23 in-hospital patients, 1 is from Andrews, 1 is from Monahans, One is from Stanton. Two are from Pecos. One is from Fort Stockton. Two are from Deering's Nursing Home. And 52 tests are reportedly pending. I think that the things that we're doing, the mask wearing, the social distancing, I think it's all starting to come together because I know at Medical Center, we're not testing less, said MCH Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons. Sarvanen added to her comments, saying that it doesn't matter if there was less testing because the positivity rate is down. Ever so slightly, though, he said. Not a thing to be overwhelmingly happy about, but it's a positive trend. The Ector County Health Department website detailed that out of 3,587 total positive COVID-19 cases, 2,439 are confirmed positive, 1,148 are probable positives, and 755 cases are listed as active. The website detailed that while 2,777 people have recovered from the virus, 55 people have died from COVID-19 related complications. The website also detailed the local positivity rate at 17.4%. County corrects voting error by Michael Merlo, MERLO at OAOA.com. Some residents of the City Council's District 4 may have been voting in the wrong district for more than a decade. Ector County Elections Administrator Lisa Sertouche said in a phone interview Monday that the county found out about the error from at-large City Council candidate Denise Swanner. Swanner, a lifelong Odessan, originally filed for the City Council seat in District 2, which is where she has lived and voted for about 11 years. City Secretary Norma Grimaldo reportedly told Swanner, after she turned in her paperwork, that she couldn't run in that district because she lived in District 4. This was news to Swanner because she detailed on her application that she voted there for 11 years following the information on her voter registration card. Swanner decided to still seek city office and instead petitioned for the at-large position, which allows Odessans from any area of town to seek the spot. The voting error didn't just include Swanner, but also others who lived on that street. The error was not with Swanner or her neighbors. Sertouche said that in 2007, we were mapping the street range of Oahu Lane, and one of the employees had received an application from a voter that had registered there, and the worker at the time had believed that that street range was on the east side of JBS Parkway, she said. She added that whoever created the 2007 map made the error and that Oahu Lane is actually on the west side of JBS Parkway, which falls into the District 4 precinct. It was just an error, you know, she said. Sertouche said that some of the people living in that area would vote in District 2 elections, while others were voting in the correct elections in City Council District 4. Sertouche said that there was an uncontested election in 2008, a District 4 election in 2010, and the outcome was 90 to 270. In 2012 to 2017, there was not an election, she said, and there was a District 4 election in 2018 with an outcome of 2,054 to 2,491. She added that while the error occurred in 2007, it wouldn't happen anymore because they have GIS mapping. That has improved a whole lot, she said, which has helped them detail areas like Oahu Lane. That gives the context of the numbers for us to see everything correctly, she added. Sertouche said that if people have any concerns about what district they are in, they can call the elections office at 498-4030 or visit https://www.co.ector.tx.us/page /actor.elections. Quick hits. Dispose of bulky unwanted items for free. Citizens have the opportunity to legally dispose of bulky unwanted items for free. A bulk item drop-off center has been established at the city's recycling center, 814 West 42nd Street. Citizens can drop off unwanted bulky items Tuesday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. and on Saturdays between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The Bulk Item Center is an opportunity for citizens to help keep Odessa clean and safe. Accepted items include electronics, furniture, appliances, mattresses, and other large items that do not fit in dumpsters. Bulky items illegally dumped are dangerous and unsightly. Large items placed beside dumpsters can prevent trucks from emptying the containers. For more information, call Solid Waste at 368-3509 or for Household Hazardous Waste, 368-3546. For a complete list of accepted items, go online. On the net, tinyurl.com/yd6yw yux. Online webinar. Odessa Links has scheduled the 7th annual community online webinar, Resiliency: Transforming Trauma into Healing, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. August 20th. Guest speakers will be Dr. Karen Alter-Reed, Chandra Quintanar, and H. Reese Butler. The webinar is free. Sponsorship is available. To sponsor or more information, call 582-0099. Email linksconference@gmail.com or visit tinyurl.com/y5q9lgfk. Hope in Action, the making of 1-800-SUICIDE. From Staff Reports. This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, page 2, read. Lone Star Pediatrics posts back-to-school video. OA News at OAOA.com. To help parents and children prepare for the reopening of school, Lone Star Pediatrics has posted a video on YouTube with tips on fighting COVID-19. Featuring Vivon Dasari, a Nimitz Middle School student, and Shriyan Dasari, a Reagan Elementary student, the video offers advice on how to put on, wear, and dispose of a mask, social distancing, advises youngsters to wear a mask all the time, hand sanitizing, and hand-washing techniques. Dr. Bhargavi B. Kola, a pediatrician at Lone Star Pediatrics, added that it is also important to get flu vaccines this year. With schools reopening next week, I would recommend having parents contact their respective primary care doctors and have themselves vaccinated as well, Kola stated in an email. To be more precise, we want to maximize the vaccine uptake in our community to protect the vulnerable population, the elderly, and people with existing medical conditions. Children are known as excellent vectors for influenza and shed higher titers and for longer duration, she stated. The George Mason University Student Health Services website said a titer is a laboratory test that measures the presence and amount of antibodies in blood. A titer may be used to prove immunity to disease. Kola said, the fewer who can transmit influenza during the pandemic, the fewer people are likely to get a double infection of SARS-CoV-2 in the flu season. In the year 2017-2018 alone, Our national influenza hospitalizations were up to 825,000, and as of June 26th, the COVID hospitalizations were estimated close to 560,000. One COVID hospitalization can use the resources of up to four influenza hospitalizations. She stated that this information came from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website, https://www.cdc.gov/. County to consider issuing certificates of obligation. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County Commissioners today will consider issuing certificates of obligation, possibly to cover the expected construction cost of a new juvenile detention center and other projects. In the 10 a.m. session at the County Annex Building at 1010 East 8th Street, the court will review an as-yet-undetermined amount of certificates of obligation, or debt, because of the need for a new facility for juvenile offenders, Precinct 3 Commissioner Dale Childress said Monday. Childress explained that a CO is an issuance of debt and is, in effect, the county's promise to pay it. He said the juvenile detention center is one need that might be addressed. The court will also approve the annual list of gifts and memorials to library in the amount of $47,987. Consider buying an antenna for the jail's radio system. Review the 2020-21 budget for the 911 Emergency Communication District. Discuss charges totaling $14,105 from Encore for the installation of utilities at the No Trees and Pinwheel radio towers. Approve the 2020-21 Commissioners Meeting Schedule. Consider a building maintenance housekeeping supplies bid from Wagner Supply. Review a contract with All America Finance Group to finance upgrades in heating and air conditioning systems in county buildings by Johnson Controls. Consider applying for a grant from the Texas Department of State Health Services for COVID-19-related expenses. Discuss a meals provision contract with Summit Food Service for the detention center. Consider hiring an investigator for the Environmental Enforcement Office. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, page 3. OAOA.com. Keep Texas Moving Coalition launches in Basin. OA News at OAOA.com. In the face of a financial crisis from the coronavirus and falling energy prices, and with transportation needs already outpacing the state budget, Midland-Odessa area business and community leaders on Monday urged state lawmakers to explore innovative funding sources to build and improve highways and bridges in Texas. James Beecham, president of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, MOTRAN, joined the Texas Association of Business for the regional launch of Keep Texas Moving, a coalition to support innovative infrastructure investment in Texas to spur economic recovery, create jobs, and build a better transportation system. The goal is to leave taxpayer dollars available for other essential spending priorities, a news release said. Because of COVID-19 and depressed energy prices, all of the Texas Department of Transportation's primary funding sources are currently suffering, including oil severance taxes, motor vehicle sales taxes, and gasoline tax revenues. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hegar recently announced an expected budget shortfall of nearly $5 billion when lawmakers reconvene in January 2021. The pandemic hit tax revenues hard across the board, especially those revenues funding TxDOT and transportation. Oil and gas severance taxes flowing into TxDOT's state highway fund are estimated to drop by almost half in the near future, the comptroller said in the release. Permian Basin area residents and business leaders know that transportation improvements are critical to our state's safety, economic opportunities, quality of life, and can stimulate job growth and speed our economic recovery from the COVID and energy crises that continue to ravage our entire economy. Aaron Cox, Senior Vice President of the Texas Association of Business, said in a news release. That's why it's time that Texas again looks to the private sector, public-private partnerships, and solutions like optional toll lanes to address the serious funding shortfall facing our state's transportation system. Allowing private investment for major highway development would offset state revenue losses and could allow available Texas tax dollars to be spent in other critical areas such as Medicaid, public safety, and public education, Cox stated. TAB, released the results of a public opinion survey of 502 Texas voters by Morning Consult that found 84% of Texas voters believe it is very or somewhat important for Texas leaders to address infrastructure next year. Texans trust state or local governments, 42%, more than the federal government, 22%, to handle infrastructure. When informed about transportation issues, 72% of Texas voters support public-private partnerships as a way to fund highway and other infrastructure projects. 71% of voters said that giving drivers the option to get to their destinations more quickly by paying a toll is an important benefit of a public-private partnership. 82% of voters agree that using public-private partnerships will free up public funds for other government programs, and 94% said the most important outcome of public-private partnerships is increasing local jobs. The survey was conducted for TAB by Morning Consult, a global data intelligence firm, on June 1st through 5th of this year, and has a margin of error of plus or minus 4%. Texas' growth and the need for better infrastructure are well documented. According to demographic and census data, Texas will grow by 12 million people in the next 20 years, from 29 million today to more than 40 million by 2040. Our economy is expected to double by 2050. Each day, Texas adds more than 1,000 new people and hundreds of vehicles to its roadways. According to U.S. Census data released in 2019, among the top 15 cities with the highest growth rate, about half were in Texas. Man turns self in from 2015 fatal shooting. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said a 27-year-old man turned himself in after reportedly fleeing to Mexico after he was involved in the fatal shooting of a man and a teenager in 2015. Andrew Jaquez Fabela was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on a murder charge, a first-degree felony, and an aggravated assault charge, a second-degree felony. Griffiths said the warrant was served Friday in El Paso. Fabela was extradited and booked into the Ector County Jail at 3:36 a.m. Saturday, jail records show. Fabela has two bonds totaling $120,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. We are usually pretty expedient about going to pick up arrestees that are on our warrants, especially those in the state of Texas, Griffiths said. It seems like this year that we've had many that are out of state. We've been all over the country this year picking people up on warrants. The reported incident happened around 4:20 a.m. September 12, 2015 at Jaguars Gold Club, a previous Odessa American article detailed. Luis Alberto Camargo was pronounced dead at Medical Center Hospital, while Pete Alexander Pondo was also transported to the hospital where he underwent surgery. Pondo was later released. Deputies were reportedly called to Jaguars Gold Club regarding a shots fired call. Deputies reviewed surveillance footage that showed men fighting inside the club. One of the men, later identified as Fabella, went outside to the parking lot where he was met by an Escalade, the previous Odessa American article detailed. The doors of the Escalade opened and the man reportedly started shooting. An Odessa American article published on September 21st, 2015, stated that law enforcement officials believed Fabella fled to Mexico. Griffiths believes that's where Fabella has been for nearly the last 5 years. Soon after we worked that case, we got word that he went to Mexico, Griffiths said. We feel like that's probably where he's been the entire time. Police investigating fatal motorcycle collision. OA News at OAOA.com. An Odessa man is dead after he was involved in a two-vehicle collision. The reported collision occurred at 8:11 p.m. Friday near the intersection of 42nd Street and JBS Parkway, an Odessa Police Department press release stated. Investigation reportedly showed that Marilyn Davis Porter, 42, of Midland, was driving a 2019 Dodge Jeep Renegade west in the 4900 block of East 42nd Street and attempted to turn south onto a private drive. The back passenger of the Renegade was a one-month-old girl. Juan Carlos Cedillos, 21, of Odessa, was a 2005 Kawasaki motorcycle, was driving east in the 4900 block of East 42nd Street, the press release detailed. Cedillos was reportedly traveling at a high rate of speed and lost control before he collided with the Renegade. The 21-year-old Odessan was pronounced dead at the scene, and next of kin were notified. There were no reports of any other injuries. Police are reportedly looking for a person of interest. The person was operating a white, older model motorcycle. Police have released photos of the person of interest that can be seen at tinyur.com/Y3LS9OM5. Anyone with information about the incident can contact the OPD Traffic Unit at 432-335-5758 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS, T-I-P-S. Police looking for a person involved in hit and run. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly searching for a person in connection to a hit-and-run investigation. The reported hit-and-run happened at 4:57 p.m. July 30th near the intersection of Industrial Avenue and Grandview Avenue, the OPD press release stated. Investigation reportedly showed the driver of a dark green Chevrolet Tahoe collided with a black Honda Accord from behind. The driver of the Tahoe exited the vehicle, but fled the scene before police arrived. Police have released a photo of the driver of the Tahoe that can be seen at tinyur.com/Y5L5B2DN. Anyone with information about the hit and run is asked to contact Hit and Run Investigator T. Yelly at 432-335-5759 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS, T-I-P-S, and reference case number 20-00134-42. This is Kay reading page 5 of the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, OAOA.com. Education Foundation Director of Development Celeste Potter claps as Arlene Ornelas becomes the first of four to sign the contract to study at UTPB to become a teacher for ECISD. Ornelas graduated from Permian High School and plans to become a secondary teacher for ECISD following her graduation from UTPB. Ed Foundation awards teaching scholarships by Ruth Campbell, R-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L at OAOA.com. The Education Foundation of Odessa awarded scholarships Monday to four University of Texas Permian Basin freshmen who aspire to become teachers. As part of the scholarship, the students have committed to teach at Ector County ISD for at least 2 years after they graduate. The scholarship covers the full cost of tuition, fees, books, and a meal plan. Graduates of Ector County High Schools, who maintain a 3.0 cumulative GPA on a 4.0 scale and plan to earn a degree and pursue a teaching career, are eligible to apply. The students include Permian High School graduates Arlene Ornelas, Daniela Ruby Garcia, and Caitlin Miller, and OC Tech's graduate, Sophia Rutledge. The commitment includes keeping a 3.0 GPA at UTPB, volunteering with the school district, and teaching with ECISD for at least 2 years after they graduate. The students signed their commitments during a private gathering in the ECISD administration boardroom that was broadcast on Facebook Live. Classes start at UTPB August 24th. Two want to go into elementary education and two into high school. For all four, the scholarship means a way to achieve their goals. It means my future and my dreams, Ornelas said. She added that she always asks God to help her pay for her schooling. My mom has always given the best for me, and I want to make her proud. I also want to help students like me that learn English as a second language to know that there's not a limit, that the only limits there are in life are the ones that you put on yourself. I'm just glad there are people that try to help and help us with these kinds of scholarships, Ornelas said. She credited Permian's AVID coordinator, Robin Hernandez Flores, with helping her go after her goals and find opportunities she never knew were there. I just want to help them to know that there's a future and much more after high school, Ornelas said of her future students. Garcia said that she's wanted to teach since she was a little girl, and she's excited about taking the next step in life. She also wants to pursue graduate work in counseling to possibly become a school counselor. I want to help kids out. It's always something I've wanted to do, is help others, Garcia said. Miller said the scholarship means everything to her. I have worked for this since I was in elementary. I have always wanted to be a teacher, and I want to be there for those kids. If they need somebody in their life, then that's what they're going to have, Miller said. Rutledge said the scholarship gives her a chance to go into a field she is passionate about and that she will love for decades to come. I have younger nieces and nephews, and I just enjoy being around them. It would be something that I would love doing each and every day, working with children, Rutledge said. ECISD Executive Director of Human Resources, Stacy Ashley, said this is the fun part of her department's job. We cannot wait to see the wonderful things that you will embark on over the next several years as you gain your education background, Ashley said. Superintendent Scott Murray said when he arrived at ECISD a year ago, one of the first things shared with him was the cooperation between UTPB, Odessa College, and the district. For moms, dads, and siblings, and others that are here today to support these ladies, thank you for helping them understand the value of education and then for making an investment, Murray said. He remembered people telling him as a high school student that he should become a teacher and he discounted it at the time. Those ladies have said yes already. Thank you for encouraging them. Thank you for working hard in ECISD, but pay close attention for the next 4 years. UTBB President Dr. Sandra Woodley and her team will take really good care of you. Our community will take good care of you, and we need you. Right now in ECISD, we currently have 136 teacher vacancies, and that's as of today, August 10th. School starts in 2 days, and we won't fill those vacancies in the next 2 days. It's a lot better than where we were last year at this time, but it still isn't zero. You all will help us to one day get to the number zero, Murray said. We want to start the first day of school with a teacher in every classroom. I think the four of you realize how important that is, so learn a lot and absorb, and then we'll see you in 4 years as we give you a contract and then set you up for success in a classroom in ECISD. Again, thank you for saying yes to education and yes to the opportunity to mold and shape students for decades to come, he added. Waivers for hybrid instruction on agenda. OANews@OAOA.com. Waivers for a hybrid model of instruction and to extend the school year start beyond 4 weeks will be considered by the Ettrick County ISD Board of Trustees at its 6 p.m. meeting today. The gathering will be held in the first floor boardroom of the ECISD Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Everyone is required to stop at the front desk, have their temperature taken, and answer screening questions prior to accessing the building. Visitors are required to wear a face mask. For students in grades 9 through 12, school systems can establish a less-than-daily on-campus attendance schedule as the sole offering for students in one or more high schools in the school system to reduce the number of people on campus at one time and increase the number of students served in an in-campus setting, supplemental agenda material said. If there is not a daily on-campus attendance option in one or more of these grade levels, the LEA, Local Education Agency, must ensure that on-campus attendance is offered as part of the hybrid schedule at least 40% of the days in each grading cycle, typically 6 or 9 week periods, the material said. Any LEA that pursues this hybrid option, while not providing a daily on-campus offering for students who otherwise wish to attend on campus, may do so after submitting a waiver request to TEA, the Texas Education Agency. All waivers will be conditionally approved upon receipt, but may be subject to further review by TEA, the material said. The district will also request to extend the start of the 2020-21 school year transition beyond the 4 week limit. They will evaluate the current case counts, looking for a downward trend, hospitalization capacity, and monitor the positivity rate, looking for it to be below 10% cumulatively and or over the past week, the material said. In a media call last Wednesday, Superintendent Scott Murray said the positivity rate for Ector County was 19.6%. The positivity rate is the percentage of people who test positive for COVID-19 out of all tests conducted, the Johns Hopkins University website stated. The first day of school is still Wednesday, but most students will start in a virtual environment. Those who attend school will have to undergo screening before coming into the building. Students starting face-to-face learning August 12th are those that do not have internet access in their homes, special education students, pre-kindergarten students, and children of ECISD employees. Those students starting face-to-face with us on August 12th are the students in ECISD that do not have internet access in their homes. So if you're a family and you do not have internet access, you'll be allowed to come to school on August 12th, Murray said. Phase 2 will start August 26th, 2 weeks after the start of school August 12th. Phase 3 is scheduled to start September 1st and Phase 4 on September 8th. Murray stressed that this is all contingent upon community health conditions. The full plan is on the ECISD website. The board also will discuss a request for approval to enter into the Operation Connectivity Interlocal Acquisition Agreement with Region 4. Hear a broadband update. Discuss school opening plans. Board workshop meeting, TINYURL.com/Y52JCP3E. ECISD back to school, TINYURL.com/Y6FQK3JN. Hello, this is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, Obituaries and Death Notice. Obituaries. Jose Jimenez Espinosa, Odessa. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelations 2:10. Bishop Jose Espinosa Jimenez, 73, of Odessa, Texas, went home to be with our Lord and Savior, peacefully and surrounded by his loving wife, daughters, and family, August 3, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. He was born on March 19, 1947, in Vado de Cedillos, Chihuahua, Mexico, to Francisco Jimenez and Maria del Refugio Jimenez. He married the love of his life, Ofelia Valerio Jimenez, on January 16, 1970, in Pecos, Texas. He was born on March 19, 1947, in Vado de Cedillos, Chihuahua, Mexico, to Francisco Jimenez and Maria del Refugio Jimenez. He married the love of his life, Ofelia Valerio Jimenez, on January 16, 1970, in Pecos, Texas. He was preceded in death by his parents, Francisco and Maria del Refugio Jimenez, and his brother, Francisco Jimenez, Jr. He is survived by the love of his life, his wife of 50 years, Ofelia Jimenez, daughters Dalila Jimenez and Jessica Utahada, and her husband Jorge Utahada, his 4 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and great-grandbaby Granditz, 2021, whom he called Peanut. Also surviving Bishop Jimenez are his brothers, Ismael Ricardo, Emma, Alfredo, Elizabeth, Joel, Oscar, Consuelo, and Armando, Juana Jimenez. Sisters Maria Lira and Graciela, Manuel, Valerio, and many nieces and nephews. Due to COVID-19, a pass-by visitation will be held Monday, August 10th, 2020, from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home, 1040 South Dixie, Odessa, Texas. His celebration service will be held at Martinez Funeral Home for immediate family and live-streamed on the www.martinezfuneral.com website at 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. Grandson Jose Jimenez Chavez officiating. Masks must be worn at all times and following the social distancing guidelines. Pass-by visitation, Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Martinez Funeral Home, 1040 South Dixie, Odessa, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Online condolences may be made at www.martinezfuneral.com. Burial will be held Thursday, August 13th, 2020, at 10 a.m., at Prairie Haven Cemetery, 2101 East Standaland Road, Hobbs, New Mexico. Masks must be worn at all times and following the social distancing guidelines. Royce Lynn Johnny Smith, Odessa. Royce Lynn Smith, Johnny, 65, passed away on August 6th at Buena Vida Nursing Home in Odessa, Texas, after a lengthy battle with end-stage liver disease, with his mother at his side. He was born to Troy and Ida Smith on May 8, 1955, in Tucson, Arizona. He attended Fannin, Zavala, and Cameron Elementary, Crockett and Bowie Junior High, and graduated from Odessa High School in 1973. A memorial service will be held on Wednesday, August 12, 2020, 4 p.m., at American Heritage Funeral Home. Death Notice. Charlene Johnson Harrington, Odessa. Charlene Johnson Harrington, 65, died Tuesday, August 4th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, etc. Oxymetazoline versus salt solution. Dear Dr. Roach, an ear, nose, and throat specialist told me not to use nasal sprays that contain oxymetazoline, such as Afrin, since over time they will damage and erode the tissues of the septum and inner nose. He said to use simple salt solution instead. Is this true? I used 2 shots of this nasal spray, and it cleared my sinuses and nose, but was very uncomfortable. I have to be careful, since I have had a constructive rhinoplasty and a septoplasty with reduced tissues, SL. Answer. I agree wholeheartedly with your ENT doctor that long-term use of oxymetazoline nasal sprays, such as Afrin, can cause problems with the lining of your nasal passages. However, there are some times when Afrin or similar sprays are helpful. I have recommended it for people with colds or sinus infections before going on a plane, for example, since it is very effective in short-term use, no more than 3 days. Saline spray is a good long-term solution for many people, and your ENT doctor knows your anatomy like nobody else. For people who haven't had surgery, or at the direction of your ENT doctor, you could consider a trial of a nasal steroid, for example, fluticasone, Flonase, if the saline alone is inadequate. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, law enforcement officer feels judged by some in the family. Dear Abby, my wife and I have been together since we were 16, married for 25 years. Her parents took me in as a teenager, and her family has been my family ever since. I'm the kind of person who loves everyone equally. I will bend over backward for someone in need and have done so for my wife's family many times. Over the last few years, my wife's brother, nephew, and niece have turned against me. They've called me controlling, hateful, and racist. I am none of those. I am, though, a law enforcement officer and a Christian. My wife's brother is a convicted felon, and her niece went to one of those anti-everything colleges. This has caused a rift in the family and caused my wife and me to feel hated and isolated, which has ruined family gatherings and holidays. How can I fix this? What can I do to help them see me for who I am instead of their biases based on my religion and occupation? Really not like that. Dear Really Not, there is nothing you can or should do to erase their biases. From your description, you have done enough good deeds for your in-laws to have shown them the kind of person you are. You have mentioned only your brother-in-law, the felon, and his radicalized daughter. Where does the rest of the family stand on this? If they are joining in and allowing you to be isolated, quit trying to impress them. Instead, spend your time with people who like, understand, and accept you for who you are, and don't look back. Your brother-in-law and his kids will come looking for you as soon as they need something else from you. But when they do, I sincerely hope you'll resist the temptation to buy your way back in. Dear Abby, I work closely with a woman who is 21 years younger than I. We're both single. Because of our age difference and professional relationship, I am not looking to date her. However, over the last couple years, I have developed romantic feelings for her. I converse with her by asking questions about movies she likes, books she reads, or what she did the previous weekend. Her answers are usually short and without elaboration. I even share with her things that I do in my life, but never once in the 5 years I have known her has she ever initiated a conversation with me or asked me about my life. She acts differently with other male co-workers. She does things for them, smiles at them, and seems genuinely interested in their conversation. It really stings every time I see her socialize with others and ignore me. What can I do to get out of this psychological rut I am in? Stuck in Illinois. Dear Stuck, your coworker may have picked up on the fact that you are attracted to her, and it is not reciprocated, which is why she keeps your relationship strictly formal and work-related. I am sure this stings, and for that, you have my sympathy. You now must do what everyone else in your situation does, which is concentrate on meeting women who are available. You are not going to find what you're looking for in your workplace. What's going on is not healthy for you or conducive to a productive work environment. If you can't quell that crush on her, you may have to change jobs so you won't have to work so closely with her or at all.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Leo and a moon in Taurus. Happy birthday for Tuesday, August 11, 2020. Powerful and insightful, you have a strong desire to reveal the truth. This year, you become more involved politically while still tending to your career, which is sizzling hot after October. If single, you do not trust easily and so may travel unencumbered along your chosen path, though dating easily. If attached, you need to communicate clearly, and then you are unbreakable. Passion reigns. Sagittarius walks the walk. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Careful study of your budget assists in stretching your hard-earned money. Avoid being too generous with others today. Offer a needy person encouragement and advice instead of financial assistance. An extra work opportunity could boost your income. Tonight, make a card. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Your motivation is exceptionally high. Today offers a highly energetic and somewhat competitive pattern. If you can maintain perspective and avoid overkill, much will be accomplished. Select peace, forgiveness, and release as your main themes. Tonight, your own deep meditation. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Your mood will be somewhat quiet and introspective. A dream or deep meditation helps you process and release a poignant memory. Today brings needed healing for the mind, body, and spirit. Tonight, talk it out with the people you trust the most. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Helpful friends arrive. A sense of camaraderie and support prevails through today. It is time to honor and express your individuality. Your innate ability to analyze situations and find solutions will carry you forward. Tonight, realize how forward-marching you truly are. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. You will cherish secrets to move forward. Opportunities for professional advancement can change your life and bring positive experiences within your work environment. A presentation you make draws support and admiration. Tonight, celebrate with higher-ups somewhere exclusive. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. Today reveals new opportunities on the horizon. Your luck is changing for the better. Select goals for the long-range future. Write a wish list. Much information and many new ideas are directed your way. Opportunities for travel are likely to come about. Tonight, catch up. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 2 stars. Today marks a culmination of old situations and paves the way for a renewal or renaissance. A new phase is beginning. Focus on forgiveness and say your farewells. You cherish your peace and privacy. Tonight, stay out of the line of fire. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Today emphasizes the need to compromise. Be receptive to alternative plans and viewpoints. Changes are in the air. Surprising twists and turns will guide you into new situations. Consider your personal wishes and needs apart from your loved ones. Tonight, early bedtime. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. You want to spend time with creative, witty, and well-spoken people. You feel a need to communicate with great intelligence. You get along with others and can resolve any disagreements. Just don't get into an argument with an Aries today. Tonight, date night. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Passions are strong. You feel the need to right a wrong or confront a problem. Cultivate a creative outlet to focus your energy in a productive way. You'll feel less tense than you have in many years. Tonight, meditation helps you understand your new priorities. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Sentiment is strong. People from your past call or visit unexpectedly. Hum auld syne and reminisce about the good times. But remember, a leopard doesn't change its spots. Tonight, write a list of resolutions you'd like to manifest and look toward the future. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today is busy with multitasking. Time passes quickly. Verify your schedule so you arrive in the right places at the right time. Neighbors and siblings are thoughtful. Write and finish an email you've been putting off. Tonight, relax with friends and family. Born today, writer Enid Blyton, 1897, actress Viola Davis, 1965, actor Chris Hemsworth, 1983.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.